This is Zone About Town on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning and thanks for being with us. Last week we learned about the alarming drop in life insurance ownership in this country and its long-term impact on families. Today we're talking to a young woman whose family learned firsthand what can happen when the primary breadwinner doesn't have life insurance. Esther Kim, a student at Atlanta's Oglethorpe University, describes her family's struggles to survive when her father died unexpectedly. Here's Barbara Dabb.
Welcome, everybody, and good morning. I'm really pleased to have on the line with me this morning a fabulous young woman that you're going to want to hear from. Her name is Esther Kim. She is a young woman from Atlanta, Georgia. She's been working to save up money to return to begin her college education following the death of her father. And we're looking at the impact of people being underinsured with life insurance or not having life insurance at all. So, Esther, thank you for joining me this morning and sharing your story with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So, tell me a little bit of background. I know you had mentioned to me earlier that you moved from New York to Atlanta after your father became ill. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, tell us what happened. Eventually, he passed away.
Right. So, we were originally from New York, but my father had a stroke when I was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. But then his condition kept worsening, and because he was, you know, paralyzed on the right side of his body from the stroke, and he was the primary income owner, I had to start working since I was 11,
wow.
And my sister was working, and we just basically worked to help support our households because, you know, my mom didn't really speak much English, and she had been a housewife all her life. You know, she only could find menial labor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the bills kept just stacking up because of the living expenses, and then we moved down to Georgia, and just within the first 2 months that we moved down here when I was 16, my father was diagnosed with stomach cancer.
Mm.
And by then, the diagnosis came too late, and so I think he only lived 2 months into his diagnosis, and we just hadn't purchased life insurance because it was so sudden. And since then, you know, we had already been struggling, but after his death, you know, we just became almost destitute. You know, we were just living off what I earned, what my sister earned, you know, even what my little brother was earning. And I think life definitely just changed for the worse after my father passed away.
Yeah, a lot of burdens for youngsters who should be enjoying some carefree teenage years. Let me ask you, what was your father's profession or what did he do for a living before he had his stroke?
Well, my father worked for a sewing company in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started working, you know, just like for laundromats, and he would go on business. He was just mostly in the textile industry.
Right, right. And your folks are from where?
My parents immigrated from Korea, but they were both citizens, and I was born in the United States.
Right, right. So, you know, life has not been easy for your folks and your family since coming here, and it's been a bit of a struggle. So following your dad's passing, was your mother able to what was that like for her after that, not having life insurance to kind of help bridge that gap and help her recover from that loss?
Well, I think it was just the hardest burden on my mother because now, you know, she had to be responsible for three kids and she had never worked before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she started just picking up whatever jobs she could. You know, she works, you know, three or four different jobs a day. And all of them are just, you know, really, I guess, humbling
mm-hmm.
jobs. You know, she's worked as a janitor. She's worked, you know, as a hospice worker. You know, she's always taking care of the elderly or the sick, you know, just, and, you know, she has to come home and take care of my siblings and I. And so, you know, I think just watching my mother just always get up, you know, before dawn to make us breakfast before she sets out to work and then coming home so late and always being so exhausting. I think,
right.
You know, that was the biggest change because before that, she was able to live comfortably as just a housewife.
Sure, sure. And of course, that's a hard enough job right there, just taking care of a husband and three children. So at least not having to worry about paying bills, she could focus on, you know, being the best mom and running a household. I'm speaking with Esther Kim. She's a young woman who has been impacted by her family's lack of life insurance after her father's passing. She and her siblings have had to go to work and really help support the family. And I know that you know, we've been talking a lot about insurance, and I know you're young. Is this a topic that ever came up in your family before your father got sick and they just said, we can't afford it? Or are you aware of any conversations or awareness of life insurance?
Well, I think I definitely am now more aware of mm-hmm. insurance. I think the biggest problem with that is that most people aren't really aware of how important it is until it's too late. You know, it's just like you only learn your lesson after it's too late.
Right. So your folks never really discussed having insurance.
Mm-mm. And I think that had, you know, mostly to do with the fact that they were immigrants to this country. You know, they don't really see things in terms of their importance. You know, like for my parents, every bill was already one that they had to struggle to pay, so they saw life insurance as another added bill rather than something that was absolutely necessary to take care, you know, to kind of secure our future.
Right.
And I think there was a lot of, I guess, defensiveness mm-hmm. is their attitude. You know, when an insurance agent would come and, like, try to talk about the policy, they would just look at the numbers rather than the realities of how important it is to secure that policy.
Right. And certainly it's confusing enough to learn about life insurance issues when English is your first language. But I would imagine for folks who are not native to the language, there's a lot of tough language in there and concepts that are difficult to understand.
Right.
And so they probably felt intimidated by that as well, I would think.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that whole myth behind life insurance, you know, because there's a lot of, myths about how, like, there are a lot of ways, I guess, you could be swindled by insurance companies.
Yes.
And I'm not really sure, like, how much that applies to health insurance or anything else, because you see those as more practical, because you see yourself going to the hospital, you see yourself, you know, getting checkups, and you see how health insurance pays itself off.
Right.
For life insurance, you're just depositing money into something that isn't as tangible.
Yes.
So I think, you know, there was that whole fear, like, you know, what are we putting our money into when we actually need to pay all, you know, the electric bill and the gas bill? And then on top of that, you're putting all this money into something that you can't see actually working.
Absolutely.
And so I think that was just like the biggest turn off, I guess, for my parents and why they never bothered to secure a policy.
Right. And you know, you bring up some really good points about why people may not take life insurance as seriously as they should. Because you're right. If you get sick, you got no choice. You're going to have to go to the doctor or the hospital or take care of it because it's happening right now. Life insurance. And of course, you know, when your dad was first had his stroke, I would assume he wasn't terribly old. And so early on, you kind of think you're invincible. You know, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you don't think much can happen to you and your concerns are elsewhere. And so it's not something that's right there in the forefront of your mind. You think about taking your kids to the doctor and feeding them and working and all that, but your demise is not something you really think much about when you're that young. So, and those are precisely the years when you would need it, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, our mentality when our father had the stroke was, you know, lightning wouldn't strike in two places. You know, that was a devastating event in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's happened, it's passed, at least he's getting better, he's progressed so much. And so, you know, we thought that danger had passed. And, you know, exactly like what you're saying, I completely agree. Like, both my parents, like, they worked so hard, and everything that they did was never for themselves. You know, like, my mother would scrounge away what little she had to be able to afford back-to-school clothes for me and my siblings. You know, she never went out shopping for herself. Everything was about what she could do for us. And I think, you know, for them to squirrel away money that could possibly go to us, I felt like they thought that was being selfish, you know, like I don't mm-hmm. think they realized that it was actually more selfless for them to use that money on themselves to protect us in the future because they just saw the things that they wanted to buy for us immediately.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Esther Kim, really a very articulate young woman telling her story about what happened to her family when her father passed away and the family was uninsured with life insurance. Esther, tell us some, you know, this is a pretty compelling story and it is sad. So what advice would you have for other folks who are listening to kind of maybe help steer them towards the path of insurance?
Well, I think that, you know, I really did learn this the hard way because it's always been in the back of my mind, like life insurance, health insurance, these are all things that you need, but you don't really face them day to day because you're so, I guess, caught up in the daily grind with everything else. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I am so grateful for this opportunity to even be speaking to all these people because I completely and sincerely believe that life insurance is an absolute necessity. And death, you know, especially just losing my father so early, was so hard on our family. And, you know, we already had to deal with, like, that whole emotional grieving process.
Yes.
The added financial burden on all of that makes us worry more about the debts that had accumulated rather than, you know, missing him. And I think that the whole grieving process was definitely tainted by all that, and I wouldn't wish that upon anyone. And so, you know, if you ever have the opportunity, you know, even if it means having to make other sacrifices, and even if, you know, it's financially more of a burden at the time to take out an insurance policy, I think that everyone should definitely, you know, take it into account and do what they can to be able to secure one, because ultimately, you know, it's your family that you're doing it for, not yourself.
Right. Very, very well spoken. Well, give us the good news, though, because in addition to all this hard work and hardship, you've got a great future ahead of you that you've earned for yourself, and you're going to be heading off to college pretty soon, right?
Right. And I'm so excited about that. You know, I had to graduate high school a semester early. I never got to go to prom and, like, you know, do that whole senior year thing because I was working full time. And then I got accepted to a school, but I was unable to afford it because of everything that had been going on. So I was not in a really good place. And then I wrote an essay about my father, and I won the scholarship, and now I'm going to school at Oglethorpe University next year, and I just really couldn't be more thrilled.
That's wonderful. Well, congratulations. What are your plans? Do you know what you want to study yet?
I want to major in English, and I want to write.
Good for you. Well, you're very articulate. I think you probably have a fabulous literary future ahead of you, and I wish you a lot of luck. I would assume your siblings are hopefully also going to be able to get themselves on track to go to college as well.
Mm-hmm. My sister is currently at Brandeis University in Boston, and my little brother, you know, he's getting all A's. So, you know, we think of our education as the only way to pull ourselves out of the poverty cycle. So, you know, like, even if it is just for ourselves or just the memory of our father, like, all of us are trekking through.
Well, I'm sure that wherever he is, he's very proud of the work that you guys are all doing to help out. I know your mother is very proud of you all as well. And I wish you a lot of luck. Good luck in college. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us this morning. I know you're going to help a lot of people.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Zone About Town is a public affairs presentation of 104.5 The Zone. As always, your input, comments, and topic suggestions are welcome. Go to 104.5thezone.com and tell us about the issue you'd like to hear about on Zone About Town. From 104.5 The Zone.